You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Wins in the Trenches.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. We are remote because California had some scary weather over the weekend, and we were told to bunker up. Even though it's sunny out right now, we are bunkered in.
It was a wild weekend, you know. We had a little hurricane, little tropical storm, little earthquake. I was out in the garage and felt everything sway in there for a second. That was kind of fun. Walker was out here, and I have a live studio audience here for the show. So you know I'm going to keep my mouth cleaner than the Raiders fans who are sitting behind me at the Rams-Raiders preseason game on Saturday.
I got to say, though, this storm. Now, look, I didn't scan the whole city. I don't know if other places were more affected than where I am, but you know, watched some local news yesterday to find out what Hillary was up to, and they're acting like Al-Qaeda's coming to take over Los Angeles, and I thought the storm sort of came and went, and it was like, I don't know, have you ever lived in another part of the country where, like, that rainstorm would have gotten zero pop?
Would have just been,
rough day in August.
Depends where, like, you were. If you were in the mountains, you got 10 inches and you got crazy flooding. We had flooding here, but it wasn't any. I think L.A. is so massive, it's almost silly to call L.A. like one city. It feels like it's a state. It's like Rhode Island.
So silly.
It's ridiculous.
It's funny you should mention that about the game you were at, because my weekend was annoying. I drove down to San Diego with my boys on Saturday morning. And the hurricane obviously was bearing down on San Diego. So good timing on that. There was like four bros, like 31-year-old bros sitting right behind us. All just like, and one guy just like going nuts with the F-bomb. And it's just like, do I have to do the thing?
Yeah.
Do I have to do the thing? Do I have to turn around and do the thing to this guy? And I didn't, because his buddy next to him had the good sense to be like, dude, you can't be saying that. You can't be just screaming out F-bombs. There's just so many idiots in the world. And then I was in San Diego, and I was at the Padres game, and I could only imagine. So Daniel Jeremiah, you know, Move the Sticks, longtime enemy of the show. And what can only to me seem like an effort to pin every unsolved murder in greater San Diego on the old Zeuser, offers up three tickets, beautiful seats, to this Padres game to me and my two sons. Like, can you get a load of this guy? And like, whatever he's trying to do, I'm back in LA, deal with it. You didn't get me. I get a hotel to stay the night. I get back from the game in the Gaslamp district, and all the news is telling me, if you don't leave now, you're gonna die. And now I have to decide, as the dad, am I going to risk my two sons' lives because I don't want to take a bad beat at the Margaritaville hotel that I checked into. Am I going to stay the night and leave in the morning because I don't want to get banged on that $350 that I paid for this hotel room? So I left in the middle of the night and I got banged in a big spot. And then you're in the weird spot of like, you kind of want the storm to hit hard. So it makes sense that you didn't leave the hotel for nothing. So just very conflicting when it was just a very, you know, it was a size-y rainstorm in the end, ultimately.
Well, you're pulled in many directions there, Dan, but I think that, you know, your kids see the effort. You put in a big effort to get to the game. Hillary said no. Hillary got in the way of some of your plans. And, you know, I don't know how they come up with the names for these storms, but I just thought the most hilarious thing was that we're like concerned about Hillary like descending upon our burg.
A lot of people were concerned about Hillary. That's how we ended up with that other guy. But what was Jeremiah up to, by the way?
I don't know. It feels like psychological warfare on a deeper level than I could comprehend.
Well, he is, you know,
the wholesome assassin,
a God-fearing man too. Maybe he has connections with the higher powers here that he set up the whole weather event to get.
Noivis.
But yeah, I did not turn around at the Raiders fans either. These were not gentlemen. I think that you would have wanted to. One did apologize when he spilled an entire nacho cheese cup on my daughter's sweatshirt. But other than that, they were freely saying whatever they wanted. And after the game, the kids were just like, I like it much better when we go to the games against the Chargers. Their fans are much nicer.
They don't exist. all right. So last week, coming out of the first round, full round of preseason's games, we had who popped and who flopped. And Mark, bless his heart, always behind the scenes saying, how could we come up with names and things that take the show to the next level? He came up with a banger. So in honor of Mark Sessler, today's rundown of preseason week two is who popped and who pooped. Congratulations, Mark, and thank you for your help.
Yeah, I like to contribute, you know, in multiple ways to the show. And that was something that came to me while driving to work to SoFi. When you suggested the initial title we had from a week ago, I thought I'm just going to make a little adjustment to that and bring the maturity level of the show back to where it needs to be.
It's good. Very 11 good. Years in that we're not just coasting. We're not just resting on our laurels. We're always trying to push it further, push the envelope.
GC. All right. So what we're going to do is we all, even with all the distractions of Tropical Storm Hillary, whatever Daniel Jeremiah was up to behind the scenes, and the fact that we couldn't go into the office today because the sunlight was too glaring on our windshields, we did study the games that were played this week, not because the games matter, because let me remind you, they do not. And almost impossibly, the games were worse this week than last week. I shudder to think how bad the last week of the preseason could be. I'm almost looking forward to it to see how much I hate it. I know I'm not allowed to say this, but I can't hold it in anymore. I need some real football in my life. We're going to talk about this because this is what we do, but I can't do it too much longer. I'm at the end of my rope, Sessler.
This is the exact week you say that every year. Everyone feels that way. It is the week where it's like, okay, yeah, let's move along here.
Well, it used to be like such a sort of a code what teams did week to week in the preseason. I think what we're seeing now is that you know, the Colts put no starters out there while the other team has, you know, on both sides of the ball dotted with first stringers. And it's just like, I guess these coaches are going to go and take their own personal philosophy. So it makes the games really even wackier. There isn't even that typical week three where all the quarterback battles like come to a head.
No, you need to go into those joint practice reports, winners and losers write-ups. That's all we got.
That's the new thing, or the newish thing. So-and-so didn't play because there was a double joint practice, and that was deemed to be enough in terms of what was needed to be seen for a player such as Anthony Richardson, who gets named starter after the first preseason game, a very raw and talented rookie, and then he doesn't play in the second preseason game because of the joint practice explanation, which just drives me crazy because you feel like that guy more than any other QB just about entering the league as a starter in week one should be on the field and getting reps all three of these weeks. And yet he doesn't, because the games don't matter. The coaches and teams are telling us that. I'll say no more. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Greg, give me some enthusiasm. Give me some pop.
Yeah, I like these because you're right. We'll try to hit as many as we can. I still scraped out 88 nuggets on this week's preseason.
88?
I mean, a lot of them aren't from the preseason. They're from news. They're from the week and whatnot. But let's start with a double banger in Denver, just because I thought it was interesting to see Javonte Williams back on the field. Coming off a torn ACL, MCL, everything, he's out there. He got 7 touches in a brief amount of work. Didn't see like a ton of pop. The guy who stood out to me more was probably Russell Wilson, that like Sean Payton was saying it was 15 pounds, maybe more, that he did move quicker. So that is something where you get eyes on a guy in the preseason, and you saw that 17-yard scamper that Russell Wilson had. But when watching Javonte Williams, I just think for fantasy and just for life, like, I don't necessarily expect him to be the lead back early in the season. It might be Samaje Perine, who in that game looked better, and it would make total sense if he's better than Javonte Williams to start.
This is no longer a trope alert with Russell Wilson, because now we really see it. The man who was called a sack of potatoes in December, he looks lighter. He looks like it's 2013. Not saying he's going to be that guy again, but on that scramble, you could just see his body type's a little different, and he... If anybody in the league was more humbled and is coming into the season with more to prove, it's Wilson. And you know, Mark, he's a maniac in terms of how he sees himself, how he preps, the way his life revolves around ball. Like, are we kind of maybe, is it time to start buying into the Russell Wilson Renaissance season?
I don't need to buy into it at all yet, but I will say this, like, quiet and husher tones on his demise, just because I think the addition of Sean Payton is massive. You know, I think when you come back from the summer and you see that these players' bodies have been transformed, I think running backs, you can see it. You're right up on that scramble with Wilson. He just looked out of it last year. And so arrow up. But I mean, I feel like there's a long way to go before we get too excited, because I think what we saw last year was an absolute collapse of an athlete. And I don't really trust the rebound situation in those situations sometimes. I thought Brock Purdy looked pretty good. Like, Trey Lance dug himself out of some trouble in that game. I don't even know if Trey Lance even has an argument to be the number two quarterback on that team, because Sam Darnold is a better fit, it seems like, in a Shanahan offense, and I thought looked pretty good for the second game in a row.
Relatedly, circling back to bodies, is there any head coach out there that came back looking trim, doing the old fit in July, not so fit come November?
Aren't there so many more fit coaches in general? Like, you've got more Kyle Shanahans than you do, you know, Rex Ryan's circa 2011.
Yeah, Shanahan's a thin guy, though. I mean, he's in good shape. He's no Salah. You know, LaFleur looked like he might have packed on some muscle. I mean, he's always been a trim guy, but might be bigger than ever. I'm still not convinced about Russ, by the way. Yeah, they ran an RPO for him, though, like, which is like, wow, they're believing in the athleticism. But the rest of it's been pretty uneven, I would say, through 2 weeks in terms of like trying to drop back to pass. But the announcers in that game noted, which I was shocked to realize, Russell Wilson has more rushing yards than any quarterback in history other than Cam Newton and Michael Vick. It's like, wow, he's played football a long time and he can. Mm-hmm.
I'll throw out two pops related to the running back depth charts of two teams. Is this the year that Mike Vrabel asks for just a little bit less from Derrick Henry? There's so much hand-wringing about, is it finally time to fade the big dog, you know, entering an age 30 campaign, or 29, right on the nose there. And is he going to keep it up? Well, remember, Tyjae Spears, third round pick out of, Greg?
Tulane.
Tulane.
I put the poor mute on because Walker was having a sneezing fit. Bad job. Oh.
Anyway, he gets some run this weekend and looked really good. He had a 33-yard touchdown run. He hit over 20 miles per hour on that run, 57 yards on 7 carries. That's saucy. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying Derrick Henry is going to start losing serious work, or this is going to be a 50-50 split, but it just makes sense if Vrabel does have a young dog that he feels good about, the big dog could still be the guy, and Spears can take that touch count down from 400 to 350, and then maybe everybody wins. And then the other one is in Jacksonville, where we keep hearing about Tank Bigsby. And it looks like it might be a thing here. Another third round pick. He ran well over 5 yards a carry, 122 yards on 22 carries in six quarters in these two games. And Greg, you and I differ a little bit. I think Travis Etienne is somebody who could still take his game the next level. But again, different leadership from when he came onto the team. They obviously like Tank to bring him into the building, and he's played well now through the summer. That could be something different. Could be a more closer to a 50-50 split, potentially, depending on how Tank looks early in the season.
Yeah, I like him, and I always keep in mind, like, who brought these players in? That makes a huge difference to me.
Yep.
Not that they don't like Etienne, but they brought in Bigsby. They didn't bring in Etienne. I am a little worried about the Jaguars in general. Their offensive line might not be opening up, like, big holes for these guys. They have the suspension to start the season. Their right tackle, Anton Harrison, who was a first-round pick, has had this shoulder injury that isn't going away. So I feel like there's a few other injury things where I feel like there's some warning signs with the Jaguars early.
They're really deep at running back because I think people forget about Dearness Johnson, who in a spot start for the Browns came in on Thursday night and looked like Nick Chubb or was as effective as a starter. In a big win for them, and everywhere he goes, he produces. And I thought even in these games, like, there's these little moments that I'm like, I think Dearness Johnson will be a starter someday, or certainly can be a guy that gets much more committee work. And so that's one aspect of their offense. Like, they're suddenly very deep and very interesting at running back.
Somebody who pooped, Mark.
Well, I actually wanted to mention a pop if I could.
Oh, you could absolutely, Mark.
Yes. I've been waiting to see
the
Falcons.
He's got the sound drop. He just doesn't want to wait. But
no, I didn't. I just right. There's plenty. There's this list with like 7,000 things on it. We'll get to it. But I've been waiting to see the Falcons, and you know, right away, Bijan Robinson had that run that went viral. You just see him sort of like cross sectioning through a bunch of defenders, and I think that was like a 15 play drive. They didn't score because it ended in an interception. But Drake London got involved. Bijan Robinson had a one-handed catch, then Kyle Pitts had a one-handed catch, and they kind of just went up and down the field. And I thought also that, you know, we've been waiting to see if the floor falls out with Desmond Ridder. I thought he looked pretty good. The interception was not entirely his fault. And he made some good, had good chemistry with Drake London like he did at the end of last year too. So I don't know. I think Arthur Smith is onto something here. They just seem like, if they stay healthy, they have so many different types of weapons and can play different styles of football. I don't know. There's no NFC team I'm more interested in right now.
Yeah, I didn't need to see Bijan break 4 tackles and 4 carries to think that he was criminally underrated at the bottom of the first round in fantasy, but I saw it. And one of the reasons is because I think he's underrated as a receiver. They just didn't use him that way in college that much because they were so talented. They had great backup for him too, Roschon Johnson. But man, he caught a one-hander. Like, I'm in. And Kyle Pitts, all systems go, which is a good sign. Nothing bad has happened with Kyle Pitts. They've ramped him up slowly, but he was out there. He's now healthy enough to play in a preseason game, so he's all systems go for the season, which is good.
I missed out on Bijan by one pick in my fantasy draft last night. One. Almost made it back to the back end of the second round.
That's insane.
Did Jeremiah leap you and make the pick?
Well, that's on. Well, I guess you had the top pick then, so you know I'm not going to kill you.
I did.
For
that. I was three overall.
I would take him in the top five. I would take him in the top five.
That seems a little rich for me. But if he was there for me, I was going to grab him up. So that one hurt. That one hurt. But it's going to be fun to watch him. I don't know about the people are waiting for the floor to drop out on Desmond Ridder, Mark. I just like there is no floor even yet. He's just kind of like a total unknown. And we'll see if he can play the guitar. It's the entire season kind of hinges on his ability to at least be a game manager, which I think
that's fair. I don't think people
doable.
Are like, you know, suggesting but. Total doom, but he's sort of like, he's the reason they might win 4 less games than they would with Ryan Tannehill or someone in some people's minds. And I don't know. I don't hate what I see at the end
put
of last
way.
Year and this year.
If they come out in week one, who do they have week one?
Is that the Saints week one?
Panthers.
Panthers in week one. And Desmond Ridder plays very well, and all these other guys are looking good. Yeah, they have a shot here. That's going to be fun. Yeah. If I'm a Falcons fan and I get a good Desmond Ridder week one performance, I am flying thinking I'm winning this division. Like, exciting times. How about Greg, pop, poop, what do you got?
I hate to put poop on these great young quarterbacks I believe are going to be great, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, because it certainly wasn't all on them. But we're talking preseason. What are we talking about that really matters? It's rookie quarterbacks. It's rookies. And I've been underwhelmed, not just by the quarterbacks, but by the teams around these top two picks, partly because, like, both games, the coaches were so positive and the local media was so positive. They were like, oh, progress from last week. Like, things looked much better. And I'm just thinking, I don't know, CJ Stroud's played, I think, five drives, and they've had 3 points, and the only 3 points came because there was a roughing the passer penalty. And he did make two really beautiful throws that reminded you of why he was taken second overall. But the first drive of the game, he has a delay of game that was totally on him at the goal line. That was a huge sort of rookie mistake. And then he airmails a touchdown pass. It's just been uneven. The offensive lines for both teams haven't been great. And Bryce Young just felt a little hesitant to get rid of the ball. I know the numbers didn't look that bad. And his left tackle for the second straight week, Ikem Ekwonu, who opens up against the Falcons, by the way. Slight correction, the Panthers-Falcons week one. He hasn't looked good either. So you didn't come out of this preseason, and they both might play in week three of the preseason, but so far it hasn't been great.
I feel like we have such a small viewable sample size of Bryce Young. He barely played last week, and I don't think you can over pump it up. It's like, what a return effort. I thought CJ Stroud, though, because the one thing watching some of his tape coming out of college is just the way he throws. It's something beautiful to watch. And I thought that the 14 yarder to Noah Brown, it kind of put it on display. And I get with some of these guys, I just want to see what you can do. And I mean, a lot of it is just happening in a weird situation. You got weird guys out there. Your line's all over the place. You don't know who's on defense. But when I see him make that throw, I'm like, I know he can do that at this level. And it's just like, that's exciting to me.
Yeah, small sample size on Bryce Young is right. But that's 2 weeks in a row where I've watched him. He's kind of getting his ass kicked taking big hits in preseason games that don't matter. Before opposing defensive coordinators or even like putting in any real scheme or you know, diagnosing ways to attack the opposing offense in any real way. Like, we don't need to dwell on his size and all that. But if this offensive line doesn't figure things out, then I just worry about him. Stroud, we'll see. And I think he has a little bit more around him. I really worry about Bryce Young being in a tough situation this season because he doesn't really have anything proven around him in terms of weapons, and then an offensive line that's a work in progress. It's so far not so good, but it's preseason. Same thing with I just said about defense. You got to give the offense the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be showing up differently come week one, but there are some red flags here for sure.
It's a little hesitant, just holding the ball, just like not reacting quick yet.
Looks like a rookie in the second preseason game.
That's what happens.
Let's see. Let's go with, my favorite, the most preseason summary thing I've ever read in the follow-up to one of these games. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins, who played the Texans. This is from Marcel Luis Jacques of ESPN. I'll read it in full. Perhaps the biggest relief for fans and coaches came when Tagovailoa took a hit from Texans defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins after an incomplete pass. Possibly tapping into his off-season jiu-jitsu training, Tagovailoa rotated his body on the way to the ground to avoid hitting his head on the turf.
It's been a big one, Dan.
Where you at, week one?
I can't imagine why that's tiresome to you.
This has been all month. There was like a practice where he did like a roll off of a sack. Like he sort of went into like a flip or something, and people were going nuts about the jiu-jitsu. Hey, whatever keeps to a healthy, I'm happy.
I'm just saying the speed of the game is probably going to overwhelm this training camp notebook lead. That's all I'm going to say. My concern there is that this probably in real speed games won't matter. So I guess I would say that I'm pooping on that as something to worry about. I'll also threw a pick
on his very first throw. So like his season last year ended on a pick, and then, you know, bad one.
Mark, I'll tee you up on this one. The Steelers popped again on offense. We can get juiced up about this if we choose. It's against the Bills, who, by the way, saw their 10-game preseason winning streak snapped. Nailed it. So you have Kenny Pickett looking good with the first-team offense. Jaylen Warren looking hot. And, you know, Najee Harris is officially, I think, on notice. Another guy who I think is going to be in some danger of losing substantial touches, another former first-round pick. Keep an eye on that situation because the Steelers seem like they're ready to really rotate in and make that a different situation. So Pickett's still looking good. The backfield looking good. Pittsburgh's offense 2 weeks in a row looking good. Not a real defense, not real scheming, not a real game, but it's worth noting.
Well, I will say this, though. I mean, I like it when a team has these like glowing practice reports, and specifically Kenny Pickett. That's been the case since back to OTAs. And it's like, do you really see Kenny Pickett as a quarterback that like physically, a physical specimen, is going to make this giant leap? And it was like, I don't know. That sort of sounded like he probably is who he is, but there's these like symbols and signs that suggest he is and he has grown. And like it went from practices to two very clean games. And the Bills had their starters in on defense for a big chunk of that first half. And Pittsburgh just dominated them. At one point, Tomlin's just like, let's get the starters out of here. That's 2 weeks in a row where they're making my multiple, you know, double-digit, potentially 12-win prediction for this season look more and more solidified.
I feel like they're August champs. I don't think anyone's gotten more offseason slash preseason hype than Pickett. And then for him to realize it. And people who are usually a little crusty, the Steelers beat writers and stuff, who usually don't want to, I don't feel like they're cheerleaders there. If anything, they're kind of hard on them. And they've just been saying since the first day of camp, like, he has been incredible. And then he does in the preseason. I'm falling for it a little bit. And I do like me some Jaylen Warren as a third down back. Like, his numbers, he was an undrafted guy a year ago, but his, like, numbers, some of his advanced metrics says it, when he was on the field, he was one of the most effective third down guys in the league. You've learned some things from the Steelers this preseason. Like, they're not starting Broderick Jones or first round pick. And then this kid, it happened again. Someone let the Steelers get like a great edge rusher in the middle rounds. If this always freaking happens, Nick Herbig, he's in my mix for defensive player of the year for the preseason. Yeah, he's got to be in the mix. 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble. It's a big honor, but Nick Herbig has been lighting it up, and he's going to be it. They have like him, Highsmith. They have Watt. They got a lot. They're just good up front.
Mark, what do you got? You got some poop?
I would say that the Arizona Cardinals represent a giant pile of excrement after what we saw this weekend. I'm not surprised. I get it's the Cardinals. But I really, my takeaway, though, was that the Chiefs, I think Andy Reid has been trying to find a way, and, you know, this is just what he's, you know, this is an annual thing, but to kind of flip the switch on saying goodbye to last year, coming in and having everyone just kind of dial into their intensity. And I just watching this, like, they had their starters in for a bunch of time, and their offensive line is utterly dominated Arizona. They're just so dominant. And they had 18 different players caught a pass in this game. Rashee Rice, their rookie, who they traded up into round two to get, had 8 catches for 96 yards. Mahomes completed a pass to 9 different teammates. And it's like, I'm not trying to break news here, but like Shane Buechel, it may be a better backup than Blaine Gabbert. Like, I mean, this is sort of what we'd expect from the Chiefs for a little bit. But to see how dominant they are and how organized they are, and it just seems like there's an intensity level that suggests to me that it's like, there's going to be no hangover from the Super Bowl. I think that Reed has found a way to get to the heart of this club, and they just looked utterly, insanely, wildly better than the Cardinals.
You just like, you sagged the poop right back into a pop.
Yeah, it's a verse, you know, you can't have one without the
other.
I didn't
hear much
exercise
about the Cardinals there, and if the takeaway is the Chiefs are better than the Cardinals,
well,
I
no, I think the Chiefs are better than anyone, and the like it's confirmation that the Cardinals look to me about as floating as lost,
I mean,
as we could have expected.
You came up with the segment name. When your first poop comes and we just say, oh, the Cardinals suck, but how about the Chiefs? People want it. People want some real excrement from you, Mark.
I'll give you
next time around.
Well, I do
big.
Think they got caught. I somehow sometimes see in the preseason, like, if one team is a disappointment one week, especially a good team like the Chiefs, they always come out the next week, especially if their starters play when we used to play starters in the preseason. Then they come out extra fired up the next week. I think the Cardinals were in a tough spot there. But they lost Dennis Gardock, who's one of the few decent edge rushers. They lost Marco Wilson, who's supposedly their number one cornerback in this game injury-wise. And Colt McCoy, who I guess is the starter, had three drives, and I think only one of them had a first down. They didn't score any points. And listening to the people there and the Cardinals website, like Clayton Tune, our guy, the fifth round rookie, I wouldn't say he's lit it up in the preseason. He's just like, okay. Some of these late round rookies have looked great, but he's looked okay. He's ran for a little bit. He scored some points and McCoy didn't. It seems like they haven't even given the job to Colt McCoy yet. They're kind of leaving that open still, that Clayton Tune could be a week one starter against the Commandos.
But Colt McCoy is going to get you too many wins, and you're trying to get the first overall pick, so he's too dangerous to put in there.
Let's take a break right here and come back with more Pops and Poops.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we are back. Greg, what do you want to go? What direction you want to go? Positive, negative? Do it, buddy.
Let's go positive. Let's go with kind of a
the ballroom or the bathroom. Where are we going?
We're making it positive. Lots of positive things happen there.
Okay,
it's important. This one you guys could take it and run with it too, because it's more than just one story. But it's the backup quarterback situations going on, but especially these late round rookies. But I'm just going to combine them all together because it's kind of weird. Aiden O'Connell, I watched him in person pitch a perfect game. It was Aiden O'Connell versus Stetson Bennett. That was a KO in the third round by Aiden O'Connell. He is your preseason MVP through 2 weeks. Tanner McKee, he's got the radio stations buzzing in Philadelphia, looking way better than Marcus Mariota. That's a sixth-round pick. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, we've talked about him. He's been good. Malik Willis appears to have beat out. He's not a rookie, but he appears to beat out a rookie, Will Levis. We got this kid from Shepherd University, Dan. That's a D2 school. His name is Tyson Badgent. And he's been lighting it up in the preseason. All these rookie, late-round rookies have been the story of the preseason. I don't know what it means. They're playing against third stringers. They're playing with third stringers. But they might be winning these backup jobs against some veterans. I think Brian Hoyer's career might end because of Aiden O'Connell. I think Mariota might be the third stringer if Hurts actually got hurt. I don't think they'll cut him. But like these are things happening, and it's kind of fun to watch.
The Malik Willis thing is interesting just because he was so bad and limited play last year that they were bringing a guy off the street late in the season with everything on the line. for Tennessee last January. Will Levis did injure himself in the joint practices leading into that game, which led to Malik getting all that playing time. But obviously it's setting up well for him to be the number two. And, you know, whenever you're backing up a guy, it's getting up there in age and it's a bad offensive line potentially in Tennessee, we might see these guys. Or if the season doesn't go well and like Zeuser hits on that under, which I'm not feeling good about from Thursday's episode, you're probably going to want to get these guys in the lineup in the second half of the season to get a look at what you have. So I think that's a backup quarterback situation that's more intriguing to me than others. You were at the Rams game, Greg, you said. So we're going to head to the bathroom. The Rams defense, I know Aaron Donald's not in the mix, but over 200 yards on the ground by the Chargers last week. And then Jimmy G and the Raiders roll over them early in this game. They put up 34 points. You know, it's a reminder that Donald and this team have little hope unless some of these guys become guys. Did you see anybody that kind of jumped out at you for the Rams?
I mean, I like this kid, Trey Tomlinson, because he's LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew, and he's wearing a number six, and my son Walker's got a number six Rams jersey, too. But when we're talking about, like, sixth round, you know, 5'7" cornerbacks that are popping, it's not great. And they were playing a lot of guys who will contribute for them. I they are a mystery, but on defense, they are as underpowered, other than Donald, as any team in the league.
I mean, and I was at the Chargers-Rams game, and I mean, that was the first test for this defense, this Rams defense, and they gave up like 200 yards rushing and had no answers for what was coming at them. So it's like, it's a really nice story to have all these young players, but in real life, the variance is massive, because it's very possible that 8 or 9 of them are like a year away from being serviceable defenders.
And since I mentioned him, I'll go with a pop. I feel like expectations are so low for Jimmy Garoppolo that maybe he'll end up surprising people and the Raiders will be more proficient, at least on offense. Also, Josh McDaniels, I feel like his stock is pretty low in general entering this league. So there's just a general idea that it's not going to work. And certainly that's within the range of outcomes here. But Garoppolo did look good in the drive he was in. And if he stays healthy, remember, he does have Devontae Adams. The idea is that Josh Jacobs is going to report at some point, even if it's sitting out the entire preseason and training camp, and be back on the field. Michael Mayer, they go and get that tight end, so maybe he contributes in year one. Or Jacoby Myers, who, you know, a lot of Patriots fans wish was still up in New England, he's there now. Is it possible, and again, not reading too much into this game, but it did look nice while they were all together, that we're sleeping on the Raiders being proficient and maybe even frisky on offense?
Because I think I get annoyed when I see these lists where, like, Jimmy G is just sort of casually shoved down as, like, the 30th best quarterback in the league. Like, the
to
good
that
version
point, Mark,
of Jimmy... What?
Let me just... I just did that fantasy draft in a 2-quarterback league and a 10-team league, and Jimmy G doesn't even get drafted in my league. Just to back up your point, go on there. People are out on him.
Pick him up as a third. Don't you want another quarterback on your bench, or you can't do that?
Three max.
I think part of it is, you know, it's like, oh, you're in Shanahan's system, so anything that you do is going to get downgraded. You know, he's won playoff games. He's been to a Super Bowl. Like, when he's good, he's really good. I thought he looked sharp in that opening drive. So I'm with you in the sense that, like, I write off the Raiders as a team with severe confidence. But I think that, like, Jimmy G is not the reason. That does pique my annoyance when I hear that. I'll tell you something, though, because, like, I think one thing about this preseason, it's like, I wanted to see more of Jordan Love. And, like, I'm kind of impressed with what he's done over 2 weeks. You know, there are some moments where he's kind of like, I think of anything, he's had some tough moments where he's had to, like, work his way out of it and put together a good drive. And he did that. He did that against New England. I know that game was, you know, canceled early because of the situation with Isaiah Bolden. He's out of the hospital. That's great to know. But Jordan Love had a couple of lasers in that game. And I just look at this whole offense, because it's like, we don't know what the Packers are going to look like this year. It could go south, and maybe these players are too young, but, like, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed looks good to me. Luke Musgrave is already essentially a starter at tight end. And Love has had these moments where I'm like, I think sitting for a while like he did have some positive impact on him. Now he's got to play. And it's like, I kind of could just see this offense growing more formidable as the year goes along. And I mean, I don't have a problem with the idea of Green Bay winning 10 games if Love can play the guitar, as you'd say.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
Okay.
I don't have strong takes on Jordan Love yet. Yeah, but if it, I would say, how would we rank, like, what grade would we give Jordan Love, Greg, based on camp reports and what we've seen on the field so far?
B.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's why I almost feel muted in how to feel, because you're kind of seeing both sides, reporting in both ends, and it's like one of those guys I really want to see when he's the man, capital T, capital M, week one.
I don't have a problem with that. I think I'm sort of saying that the overall Green Bay offense, and there's a lot of young players here, but I kind of just am excited more than I've been about the Packers in a long. They were the same thing for so long, and it's like, this is interesting. You've got my.
You just wanted them
attention.
To get rid of the whole Favre to Rodgers dynasty. Always annoyed you.
Yes,
I'm with you though, because their preseason. I would give their offense though like an A- or A for this preseason and camp, because you don't really know if Musgrave and Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed is a rookie who's going to be their starting slot receiver. You don't really know how they're going to look in their first camp and preseason. They went out and earned those jobs, and they've looked quite good. So they're rookies, so we don't know how it's going to translate in the preseason. Dobbs is making plays. Love, we've seen him in a bunch of preseasons. He makes really bad plays, and he makes awesome throws. To me, he's going to be a very entertaining player. Like, his big-time throw rate will be through the roof. His turnover-worthy play rate, I have a feeling, will be through the roof. And so it's going to just be, like, huge ups and downs. But I think they've had a nice little month. Unlike, like, let's say, like, I do kind of pay attention to who's getting hype and not. Like, I kind of expected Justin Fields to have more hype this preseason. I'm not giving him a poop or anything, but it's just like second year in this offense. They built all this stuff around him, and the vibe you get from the Bears is incremental growth, if that. It hasn't been a Kenny Pickett big jump, at least in terms of camp hype.
Cycling back, Raiders 6.5 over under.
Mm.
That's in a good spot.
You know what's interesting? Throughout camp, they've been saying their defense has really been a surprise, like surprisingly good. They really think the defense is better. It's been kind of beating up the offense. And then when they went to have those joint practices with the Rams, that continued. They beat up the Rams offense, but the offense was starting to get better. Maybe the Rams just stink, but it was a good week, I think, for the Rams.
I would do anything to pivot out of my Titans under. I wish I could go back and and change time. Packers at 7.5.
Well, I want to
bang in the over there.
I want to get my fifth choice into the show. I know that after the fact you guys beeped it out. I just want to let you guys know, all the Greg heads out there who really want this for the money, you know, that they could potentially get into. In our season preview episode, we could circle back because we can tell you what we really like, a team that we like. So just saying.
To teach. Sure. That seems fair. Unfair was you trying to cram in another over-under.
You asked. I didn't say anything. I left the time, and you were like, you got more time to fill.
I didn't say to give another over-under. I just said if you wanted to have anything else to say. You kind of try to take it to Planet Greg, and we're not getting on the spaceship and going to Planet Greg with you every time, Greggy.
I have regrets. I wish I had made that my fourth pick too. I'm gonna go poop. Let's send some poop. What are we doing here with the poop? I don't know. Let's
take it to the Sessler department. I like it, Mark.
I like
not
it.
The sanitation.
No, I like
department,
it. I just don't know how to plumbing. Like phrase it or introduce it. I'm gonna give this for Todd Bowles' press conferences talking about these quarterback battles. It's over. He picked Baker Mayfield, but he won't say it.
Thank you. I had this written down. Todd, earth to Todd. We don't need to be, you know, we don't need to be tricky about this one. It's not as if this idea that Todd Bowles can go and not play Baker Mayfield in this game this weekend, even after the third string quarterback hurts his neck. And then after the game, all the reporters want is just general confirmation. And you can't give us that? We don't have any more time for these games, Todd. Like, just be real about it. Do you really think, Todd, that the Vikings are on the edges of their seats worried about how they're going to prepare for two QBs ahead of week one? Because they can't discern where Todd is going to go on this. Enough.
Also, wasn't Kyle Trask like 21 for 41 in this game? You don't see that too often. Obviously, it's Baker, the starter. I don't know what. I don't even understand. It's like a 1996, dueling with the media. I'm with you. It's tiresome. Fast forward 14 days, please, Earth.
Yeah, they made their choice. And Trask played like pretty well in that game. But yeah, when Wolford went out and he even said, he's like, I didn't want to risk Baker behind the second string offensive line. We didn't mind risking Kyle Trask. There was one other nugget there that I put in the article that I think has been under the radar. Like, I don't know if Ryan Jensen, who was an all-pro a few years ago, a pro bowler with Brady, like, I don't know if he's, I know he's not going to play week one. I'm wondering if he's going to play football again. He rushed back to play in that Brady playoff game. He tore his ACL, MCL, and dislocated his knee, then rushed back to play 80 snaps in that doomed playoff game. And now just the vibes coming out, like, it wouldn't surprise me if you hear this announcement that he's retiring or he's missing half the season. And,
oh, God.
And they've got a lot of offensive line issues. They moved Tristan Wirfs to the left side. That's supposedly not going great. They've got rookies. So it's a tough situation there. We talked about Russell Gage. Like, I feel, out for the season. I hope you're wrong about that
because if that's a failure of the team, if he somehow aggravated or put himself in a worse spot by playing, and again, a terrible Bucks team that wasn't even over 500 in the playoffs, and credit to him as a Warrior that wanted to protect Brady in what was his final game. But I hope he didn't further hurt himself or mess himself up. He's 32 years old. I know these guys age in different ways on the line, but he should have good football ahead of him. But yeah, that's scary.
I've got two quick pops. Happened in the same game. The more I see from Jackson Smith and Jigba, it's just like, okay, this guy's going to be extremely productive from the first quarter of the first game. He looks the part. He doesn't look like a rookie to be completely comfortable. And, they played the Cowboys, and Jalen Tolbert has been getting tons of buzz at camp from Mike McCarthy on down. They were short at wide receiver a year ago, and like someone like this could be a big help. But like, he's an exciting player. So I think the two of the best like offensive skill position teams in the league, like Seattle looks for real to me, and Dallas, I'm not putting them in the NFC title game ever in my life, but it's hard to figure out who they're like, who has more talent than them right now.
The JSN, he was an interesting one. We just did the fantasy extravaganza last week because he does look like he's for real, but Pete Carroll loves to run the football. He's got a lot of guys to do it. He's got a very locked and loaded 1-2 at wide receiver. I think JSN could have an impact in a team way, but will he get enough touches to be really kind of jumping off the page in year one? That would be my only hesitation from a fantasy standpoint, or even like in a bullish on JSN standpoint.
Right. And you mentioned Tolbert. We saw him catch a nice pass, I remember, on Stephon Gilmore, well contested that day we were at camp. And he's kind of someone who the preseason's for and training camp's for, a very disappointing rookie season from him, but has come out and looked like a different player. And now watching him win on the outside, you think, okay, the Cowboys have at least three or four wide receivers. He might end up taking some time from Michael Gallup if he can play on the outside, but they're pretty loaded there at that position.
I should have connected this one, boys, when we were talking about the Cardinals, but I read that Isaiah Simmons, former first round pick, who came into the league with, did you bring him up, Greggy?
No.
Came into the league with just a ton of buzz. I remember Cynthia coming on our show and pumping him up, and it was always a little weird because it was like, oh yeah, he's a linebacker. I don't know, maybe he's on the edge, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. And then true to form, like, Isaiah Simmons has never really found a home. And now they're trying to make him a safety in Arizona, and they're trying to find a way to make this work. And this is not something I was studying closely personally, but a report from ESPN that he really struggled against Kansas City in that role. So it's just like, this is such a transition role. transition year for Arizona. They're trying to find, this might be the last gasp of trying to make the Isaiah Simmons situation work. Could he be somebody that, you know, I'm sure he'll make the team, obviously, but could he, is there another team that, if this safety thing doesn't work, would they trade him for a low draft pick? I don't know. We'll see.
Doesn't it feel like the kind of story where, like, he does end up on another team and tells essentially the horror story that's occurred here over the past couple years in Arizona? Because, like, you talk about negligence with, like, a Ryan Jensen. He's had how many coaches, Simmons? And how many times have they moved him around and tried different things with him? Part of it is, like, he hasn't been dominant at any of those things, but it's like he was always drafted as someone that the right coach would need to find the right way to use him, and now it just feels desperate. And I could see him going somewhere else and going right back to linebacker with a better coaching staff and some consistency, and maybe we get a different version of him.
And this one is neither a pop nor a poop, so whatever is in the middle, it's like in the hallway between the ballroom and the bathroom. Mekhi Becton has finally entered the starting lineup conversation for the Jets. He saw some significant snaps against the Bucks in the preseason game. He got out of it okay. 25 snaps in his debut at right tackle, and it looks like he's going to get some first-team reps. I mean, it's alarming that a team in the Jets that really is unsettled at offensive line, that we're this deep into training camp in the preseason, and Becton is only now being kind of introduced to the possibility of being a starter. I think it tells a story. I also wonder why do I keep on reading about Becton? Like, he'll be able to play a full round of snaps and with the first team when his body is right. I mean, at what point does the body get right? He hasn't played in 2 years and had the surgery before last season really even got going. But he is going to, I think, in a best-case scenario, play really well the rest of the summer, and he will be their right tackle. And then you cross your fingers that Duane Brown gets healthy on the left side for a Jets offensive line. That is by far the biggest question mark for this team. And read into it. It's okay to read into it. Aaron Rodgers does not play in the preseason. He's open that it doesn't matter. He's with the Zeuser on that one. And yet he will be seeing snaps against the Giants next week. Why? That's the Jets telling you they're nervous about this line. They feel like they need to get some live reps ahead of week one. So hopefully Rodgers gets out of that safe and sound. But the fact that he's playing, I think, has everything to do with not him throwing the football around, but feeling comfortable in the offensive line, getting more reps together as they try to square this away before a very tough beginning of the season.
I mean, I can't imagine if you're Joe Douglas and you've gone this far and acquired all these players that you aren't on the phone line nonstop looking around the league for proven tackles. I can see a trade going down at some point. They need depth no matter what. I want to bring up one other tackle who is a bit of a surprise. His name is Big Thanos. He's 6'8", 375 pounds, a fourth round pick of the Cleveland Browns. He's been on the field for 111 pass blocking snaps and not allowed a sack, and has been pretty eye poppingly effective. I don't know. You draft that player thinking that's a project. The size was there, and like he looks like he can play. And I kind of think that, you know, if they get into a jam, he could start games for him down the stretch. Like, that's the count. To get that in the fourth
round
is
huge. That's a great nickname.
Yeah, Big Thanos.
Circling back on Rodgers quick, I did just want to throw a quote out from Rodgers last week. Something, and he was talking about the offensive line. Some things are out of my control. Some things I have input on. Who's playing left and right tackle? I don't have input on at this point. I don't get concerned about things I don't have a huge role in. Now, that might change. At some point, I might say I need the five who are going to be in there to be in there with me for a solid week, which I think are reasonable things all to say. I feel like if in a previous generation or if he was in Green Bay and said those things, it actually might have gotten some heat of like, ooh, is Aaron Rodgers trying to say he should be making the personnel decisions. And like, I actually applaud the New York media for not blowing those out, but I think it makes sense. Like, there hasn't been progress there. And at some point he's going to be like, look guys, pick the guys. Let's go pick the guys. This might be the week. I think.
I hear you. Who else got something?
Let's just hit some news. To me, this is a pop because I've been on the Jadeveon Clowney bandwagon for too long. Still? He's on the Ravens. It's where he should be. That's all. They needed him. They're very thin at cornerback. They're very thin in terms of their edge rusher production, you know, and just some young players. And They'll probably squeeze a good season out of him because that's what they do with like mid-30s.
Watch him finally get that 10-sack season for the Ravens at age 31 or whatever.
I mean, he basically quit on his last team.
Yeah, that was not a great look. But hopefully, if you're the Ravens, they could use him. It would be him, Ajabo, Owe. Now, that's an okay group. All right, I'm going to throw in one more. I guess the pop here would be Juwan Johnson, who's looked great, the Saints tight end. A lot of hype. Dominated joint practices, reportedly. Looked good in the preseason. But that brings up the tight end position there, which it was just a strange story. It was hard to wrap your mind around this one, but we should note it. It's newsworthy, which is that Jimmy Graham was seen acting erratically at the resort they were staying at, and the police were called, and he was initially arrested, and then he was taken to the hospital, and the Saints released the statement that he had a medical condition, a seizure, and I believe that was known about Graham a little bit before, that he had had some issues with seizures, and they didn't really fill in the blanks of how this was all connected, but it's not great, and they're not saying anything about his football future. He obviously didn't play in the preseason game, but I don't know. You wish the best for Jimmy Graham, and you're a little anxious if he was playing football again.
I think we were all like kind of stunned or at least surprised when Jimmy Graham resurfaced as a football player back with a team where he really became a star. But yeah, I would imagine just from a pure football standpoint, he's not going to be on this team. And maybe we're going to get some update on that in the next few days. And I hope he's okay, because that sounds like, at least over the weekend, he was very not okay. You know what else is not okay? Can you pull that up, Eric Roberts? How's the thumb, by the way, Eric Roberts? Before we get to that, let's check.
How's
back.
How's life little with health. His thumb now after a week?
Yeah, 1 week later after nearly, or not even nearly, chopping off the tip of his thumb while cutting goddamn potatoes.
It's doing okay. Let's see
it.
How
we doing? Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt that much anymore. Now it's just kind of living with less of a thumb. So, the pain's pretty much subsided. You know, I'm walking around without a bandage on it now. So that's fun to see. I see people kind of like catch a glimpse of it, and then I see their eyes following my hand around.
Oh,
and like,
yeah, that's tough.
Try to have a nub over here, but it's all right. I'm surviving.
But Eric, so that doctor told you that, you know, the thumb would grow back, which was sort of news to us from a ground level. What is the growth? What direction does it seem to be going in?
I will give
what is the gross growth?
It's a little. This is the decent side of it. This is not too gross to see. The other side's okay.
And then can you hold up your other thumb just so people can see what it looks like, a normal thumb?
Check it out on YouTube. You can subscribe to the Around the NFL.
So the other side's a little gooey and more heely, but this is just like, you know, a little Gumby look to it. You know, Gumby the little.
I think some people would say, to spin it in a positive way, to pop more than poop, it looks kind of metal. Like, it looks like you're a kind of a bad dude.
Yeah.
And they don't need to know the story, the backstory. You could give your own backstory, yeah. and I'll spin it even further. More pop, more ballroom, less bathroom. A guy like Brian Baldinger turned his wonky ass finger into a part of his personality and like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something here, I think, Eric, if you from a creative standpoint, in terms, whether it's a thumbs up you give in every photo, or there's a way to take this and take these lemons and make some.
Well, I have started sending out emojis instead of the actual thumbs up emoji. I've created my own little screenshot of one with half of a thumb missing. So I have kind
there
of cycling in a joke, a reoccurring joke that I don't know. We'll see how long it goes.
You're a masterful self-brander, and I think all this happened for a reason.
Yeah, you know.
Our previous producer, Gravedigger, sometimes his self-branding would get on Sessler's radar. Where are you okay with this, Mark, where Eric is trying to diversify his portfolio?
I'm over any tension I felt over what Justin was aiming to do back then, and I don't feel that tension with Eric. I think that, you know, if anything, if you were to pick 10 people out of a lineup to have their thumbs half chopped off, there'd be a freakout level with a big chunk of those people. I thought Eric kind of took it in stride and was back at work the next day, and it's like sort of is a heroic, turn of events for Eric.
I'll take that.
Not annoying.
That's a good.
I mean, he missed 2 days, but yeah. Like, we're not counting.
I was typing. I was half sending some. Oh, whatever.
Hey, can you throw it up? It's great, Eric, that you're going on. I can't wait to see how that thing grows back. I want a science fiction film. All right, go ahead, Eric. Let's see. Flash it up there. This pooped. This is poop. This is way worse than I even thought it would be. Gosh darn. Teddy Bridgewater, the forever number 5. He played his first game as number 50. And it couldn't look any worse. It actually was worse than I thought. Look at this. Check out the YouTube show. Greg, get the plug in. He looks insane wearing number 50 as a quarterback. He took a snap from center, and it looked like a fan had won a contest to play a snap in the NFL. I am horrified by what the Lions have done here, because a running back on the roster has his number 5. It should have never gotten to this point. Teddy Bridgewater should never wear number 50 again. It should already be over, and yet it's not. The nightmare continues.
I love it. I mean, Teddy in that Honolulu blue with the 2 gloves in Honolulu blue and the 50. We've never seen anything like it. Don't worry about his performance out on the field.
Yeah, not too hot. Secondary.
It's the preseason.
I did notice we did not discuss what Teddy actually did as a football player, which was
no. Well, thankfully,
it didn't back any of your hype from last week up.
If he was worried about Nate Sudfeld, I think has thrown like 4 interceptions and like 16 passes in the preseason. So
Teddy, 5 of 11, 34 yards in the first quarter fumble. No biggie. Okay, guys, you guys want to throw out a couple more? I'll let you get it out. Go ahead. Anything else in your little notebooks?
The one that I wanted to make sure we got in there was a poop, because I think most people, most teams have gotten through this month pretty unscathed. I think the Dolphins have had maybe one of the worst months, maybe the worst month of any team. Jalen Ramsey is what started it. I know that was technically July. Teron Armstead, it's like, okay, he doesn't have a serious injury, but we're back on this cycle of, is he going to play this week? Is he not entering another season like that? We don't know if he'll be ready for week 1. Devin Achane has looked great in the preseason, suffered a shoulder injury. Don't know if that's serious. And then I saw an interesting report on SI.com that Emmanuel Agba, who they gave a lot of money to, just has not looked comfortable standing up in Vic Fangio's scheme, and that maybe they might even look around if someone wanted to give a draft pick for Emmanuel Agba, which would be surprising. He's very highly paid, but I just feel like hasn't been a great month for this.
But did you see the jiu-jitsu stuff?
Yeah, that's true too. A lot of injuries in the secondary. I think they've signed 5 defensive backs this month, and they might have to sign a 6 just because they've had so many injuries.
What's that Dolphins over under at, Eric?
I think it's 9.5.
Yeah, it's 9.5.
It's like a skyscraper, looking up at a skyscraper.
I mean, you're loving any drama attached to that team. We understand that.
I love you, Dolphins fans. Let's have some fun this year. Let's get the rivalry back. Jets, Dolphins. Let's make it count. Let's make it matter.
Wait, can I give one more pop? I almost forgot. This is a big one. It's our friend Henry Hodgson. He's popping. He's the father of the international player program. He's the only person, you know, he's out in Africa. He's in Nigeria. He's all over Europe picking out these players. It's all because of Henry Hodgson. You remember
personally scouting them? I love this angle.
Sometimes he goes to these things. Actually, OCU Manure truly does that, which is pretty crazy. But okay, CJ Okoye made national news last week, the guy on the Chargers who got a sack in his first ever football game. Had never even played a football game before. Nigerian defensive end David Agoha, who just started playing football a year ago, recorded a sack on Saturday. And then Texans defensive end Adedeo Odeleye, also an IPP player, has 2 sacks this preseason. Out of the 8 players selected this year, 6 are from Nigeria. A lot of them are pass rushers, defensive linemen, and they're starting to pop. And these are guys who didn't even play football last year. Nice little job by the IPP in the preseason.
It was always very American that we just assumed that only people from our country could play football, when like the span of the human body and what it looks like all over the world suggests that there would be football players, as there are in other sports, beyond American borders.
Let's go.
I don't like that take.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like pointing to it as American hubris. I don't get the vibe that we never thought anyone could play football anywhere else.
No one ever
in the world,
practices just, it.
Yeah. It wasn't like a sport that was being played.
I mean,
so that's what Henry does. That's what we do with our UK reach and the surrounding territories, even beyond, in places like Germany and Australia and Ireland, which is not part of the UK. We're just doing the job. We're carrying that watermark.
I think we're a little late to the whole effort. I mean, we could have started this a while ago. I'm not trying to go anti-American with my take. I just think it's like we comfortably shrouded the sport for so long until people like Henry came around, until our show came around, until television changed. See, I can do that song and dance just like Greg, you know, prop someone up from across the company who will do a favor for me at some point later. I get how it works.
It's dark, man. Are we just friends with Henry? What is wrong with you?
The best thing, Greg, is I wouldn't say I came at Mark there, but I just disagree with his take. But then you get the knife right in the spinal column.
I know. Whenever Mark gets a little annoyed, it comes out how much he clearly does not like me.
That's not true at all.
Damn.
What was that, not Jeff true. Albrecht?
Damn.
That is not true. I have that on good authority. No, Mark does like you, Greg.
Joking. I just lash out, and you know, everyone gets a little bit of a helping.
I know, but we're not talking about some like VP in a corner office. That we're talking about Henry, and we're talking about football. You know, come on.
I love Henry, but that wasn't in question. He already knows I love him.
He thought there is a sense, Mark, and I don't totally disagree that you're doing a little back scratching here for Henry to. Get something. I think it's, maybe a suite when it's time for us to go to London again. Maybe, oh, weird. Greg got the upgrade at the hotel.
Henry helps us out, as you guys know, regardless of what we say. I think these are cool stories, regardless as well.
Yes, the International Pathway Program. If you are an overseas listener, this is right up your alley and is a huge part of the NFL's attempts to grow the game. Do some research. Check it out. Look it up. It's cool. All right. That's it. Mark, anything else, bud?
The only thing I'd say is that I think it's the Giants were swatted down in the over-under contest we did. I think in general, people look at what they did a year ago as slightly fraudulent beyond like a great coaching job, and they're expecting them to come crashing back down to earth. They looked great on offense. Daniel Jones was totally on. Darren Waller was used over and over. I just think that the Darren Waller story has gone about as positively as you could hope. We'll see, you know, TBD on his health, but that would be a big upgrade for that offense. And they got about 800 wide receivers they're sifting through. It reminds me just a little bit of when they, you know, in Buffalo, the way they built that offense up quickly, that the Giants have attacked all resources. And if you get, you know, the better version of Daniel Jones, I'm tired of everyone, you know, just talking about one New York team. There's another New York team that actually went to the playoffs a year ago.
Ooh. I think that's fair. And I think I kind of had it in my notes and was going to sit on it. And maybe that's part of the problem here, Sessler, because Daniel Jones signs that huge contract. And, you know, it was met with some sideways glances and light mocking in general. And I think the general assumption here is that the Giants will. I don't want to say general assumption, but I think there's more than a few people that follow the sport closely that think the Giants may live to regret giving Jones that type of investment. But he did take a big leap under Dable in 1 year. In year one, is if he does it in year two, it wouldn't be out of this realm. I don't think you don't hear a lot of people saying, yeah, Jones is going to become a star this year. No. The Giants certainly think that's possible based on how they paid him. And maybe we should give him a little bit more of a chance to continue to progress. It'll be, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm excited. I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling this Darren Waller thing. As far as the summer has gone, it couldn't have gone better. Like the worst case scenario is you trade for this guy who's been hurt constantly for 2 years and he pulls his hamstring in the first week of training camp and it becomes one of those waiting games. No, he's healthy. He's been effective. Okay. Bring some juice to the G-men. I like it. G-men. I have one other thing to share. That's the big announcement horn, but it's a big announcement tease coming up later this week. We're going to share our plans around the NFL, expanding our universe into the NFL Plus realm. Okay? It's going to be fun. It's exciting. We're pumped about doing it. We successfully had conversations with shadowy league figures about giving us runway and man hours to make this fun and exciting, this new chapter for our show. And we're going to tell you all about it on Thursday's show. How about that?
It's a professional tease. We weren't doing that in year one. That's a veteran broadcaster.
And now, my final thought on preseason football. Tonight. The Washington, D.C. area. Landover. The Baltimore Ravens. They attempt to extend their godlike preseason winning streak to a goddamn 250 games. If they beat the Commanders, 25 consecutive wins in the preseason, it is no surprise that the game is on ESPN, nationally televised. Because it's that big. It matters. I just spent an hour telling you how the preseason doesn't matter. This matters. This is DiMaggio 56. This is the type of record that people will talk about in 100 years. Can they get to 25? That's a big number, Greggy.
It's, you know, what I'm thinking about all day today. By the time people hear this, maybe they'll know the result. Maybe we'll have an emergency pod if down goes Frazier, you know, if it happened. Down goes Tyson, I guess, in this case would be a better example. You know, if the upset happens, you guys going to be ready if the Commanders pull off the unthinkable?
They won't lose, the Ravens. If I'm them, though, I take this so seriously. Because look, Buffalo's already been axed. The next second closest competitor, they're starting from scratch all over again. I start Lamar Jackson and every first stringer for four quarters and devastate. Break Washington's conscious. Just
wait. I've got another streak that's almost as crazy. Their consciousness. you know when the last time the Minnesota Vikings have won a preseason game, guys? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't this decade. They've lost 11 straight. You throw in the pandemic year, they have not won a preseason game this decade. That's a travesty. Let's get it going, Minnesota Vikings.
That's a poop. I get that. But you can lose. It's easy to lose games essentially on purpose in the preseason.
11 straight? That's a lot.
To win 24 straight without really trying, that is remarkable. And I agree. The fact that it's on ESPN, the fact that it's so stupid, it's so dumb, and yet John Harbaugh does care, and it's a big round number, 25, there is zero chance. I mean, I won't say anything else if you want to, those desert folk. There is zero chance that the Ravens lose this game and don't lay any wood you lay out. They will chop that wood. The Ravens are going to roll over the Commanders. And if they don't on Wednesday, I will apologize to you. Mm. But Ravens going to chop wood. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Indeed.
Let's get out of here. Oh, shout out to El Segundo Little League. They are in the Little League World Series for the first time in town history. Little League, El Segundo is on fire about this, and they are playing again today, Monday. Hopefully, they continue to roll. They beat, you know who they beat up? They beat Ohio, those chumps where the Wessling brothers hail from.
Well, and we were, you know, we're on a text thread with the Wessling brothers, and, you know, Nick Wessling especially is taking shots left and right at California culture and just describe the whole thing as like probably a bunch of soft kids that had never even seen a cloudy day. And then they go, what are you doing, Ohio? You just got taken out by El Segundo.
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't
El
popping.
El Segundo, yeah. And you should know that Ohio got sent home their next game. They're out. They gone, double elimination. So maybe the Wesslings can watch the working class El Segundo Little League grind their way, and then to stick it to Rosenthal and company to take out Mother Japan in the finals. Let's do it. Let's shock the world.
I'm rooting El Segundo there. I'm with you. I mean, Walker's in like an adjacent Little League. Like, let's go, SoCal. I'm a SoCal guy after 11 years.
There you go. I could guess who your wife's rooting for in such a game as well.
I mean, probably not El Segundo. Is Japan even? They don't get a bye to the finals. They got to make it there too. But that would be good.
Tells me they will. They're very good at baseball, the Japanese. That's it. Good show. Good ep. Good talk. We'll be back Wednesday as a group. Tuesday, Hard Knocks podcast with me and Colleen Wolf, recapping episode 3. So be there for that.
And until then,
heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.